And welcome to another new episode of my podcast titled The Truth For You. Welcome to my podcast, Truth For You, because I know it has been a very long time since we have done a podcast episode, but I just want to say first that I'm doing great. I'm doing blessed. Just needed some time off to focus on what God wanted to take the direction of this podcast. And I'm happy, because the Lord has shown me things in light of recent and current events that I believe should be brought to the attention of our young people. And again, I want to say thank you for my loyal subscribers, those who have been listening and supporting the podcast, as we have been on an incredible journey entering into season number 5. Nonetheless, have ourselves another interesting podcast episode. This episode is in light of a very controversial issue, an issue that has outraged a nation, a world, and many millions, thousands, hundreds of people. Let's get straight to it. That issue is no other than Roe versus Wade. And on this podcast episode, it's not going to be an easy discussion, but it is needed. And as we talk about abortion, women's rights, and the separation of church and state, I think our young people is well deserving of hearing it from the angles truth. Thank you for listening, and I hope you get something out of this. Nonetheless, let's get into the episode. Stay tuned. Where do we begin with this controversial issue? Where can one start? I think we all can agree that the issue of abortion, the issue of women's rights, the issue of law as it pertains to intervening in the personal decisions and lives of their citizens, is one that strikes deep into the heart and into the soul. And so, this episode is meant to be taken seriously, hoping to have a mature conversation, and that as I speak concerning these things, wants to keep in mind that this is a very sensitive topic and subject. I want to first say that my sympathy goes out to all of those who have had an abortion, those whom plan to have an abortion, and those who have been, who have had family or friends who have had an abortion or who plans to have an abortion, and those who are outraged in light of the Supreme Court overturning of Roe versus Wade. But nonetheless, I must speak the truth in this matter, because the truth is the truth by itself. And I think that anyone, no matter what their situation or circumstance is deserving of the truth, whether they like it or not. One cannot build their lives on false tales. And so, as we discuss the subject, it is with my prayerful intentions that it is not to outrage anyone. It is not to make anyone feel less than. It is not to make anyone feel that they are not important, or their voices should not or cannot be heard. But it is to enlighten us and bring us face to face with reality. And then when we are brought face to face with reality, we can make decisions we can then progress. Progression can never be made without addressing issues. And addressing issues can only be addressed on the basis of reality and truth. Else we're just beating around the bush and not going anywhere. So here goes nothing. As I'm watching the news and seeing the Supreme Court's overturn of Roe versus Wade, I cannot help but look at the thousands of those who were outraged and women that were protesting, who felt as if their rights were stripped right out of their chest, who felt that their voice had been stripped from their being, and who felt that their existence among society, among a nation as great as America, has just made them feel just a little bit smaller or irrelevant. But I must also add that while I acknowledge the outrage, I would say that there were some things that sort of bothered me. I'm all for women's rights. I'm all for women progressing in our society. I'm all for women having a voice. I'm all for women being empowered to live lives as we all want to live, free and equal. I would also like to add that there was one thing that did make me kind of take me back and think about, was the chanting of "my body, my choice." You see this a lot. Hashtags. You've seen it on posters, women rehearsing and people saying "my body and my choice." I do believe in the freedom of will. We all deserve a freedom of will. We all deserve the liberty to choose. I mean, at the end of the day, what is liberty if we don't have choice? We would all then be mere slaves or mere robots. The will, the decisions to choose, that is what makes one a human being. It is the essence of a human. And to take that away is to strip humanity of its humanity. But what I would disagree with is that it's my body. Let's talk about this for a second. Removing or having an abortion is not the removal of a body part. A baby is not a body part. You're not removing an organ. You are removing an organism. And by definition, an organism is designed as an individual, a living being. According to Merriam-Webster, an individual constituted to carry on the activities of life by means of parts or organs more or less separate in function but mutually dependent, a living being. That is what an organism is defined as. You know, what's interesting is that a biologist can tell you that a baby, whether he is 15 weeks or 15 seconds, is a living being. And I can tell you that a biologist who cannot tell you, one who studies life, and by studying life, they study organisms. And you have something called macro organisms, but you also have microorganisms. You have cells. You have different living creatures or living beings. that are very small to the human eye, that you would might need a magnifying glass or a special telescope to look into them. Now, they may not have arms or legs yet, but nonetheless, they are organisms. And if you study a biology book, most of what you're studying are microorganisms. And you see that being a microorganism, that they all go through a stage of life. What we have to understand is that the child is at a stage of life. Now, some may say that they are not recognized as a living being until they're able to think or feel. But my question is, how are they able to think or feel if you have not let them reach that stage yet? That is a stage of life, but it is not the first stage of life. Matter of fact, I think we should define what life is. I think if we then can define what life is, then it would be easier to define a living being. According to the dictionary, again, life is defined as an organismic state characterized by capacity for metabolism, growth, reaction to stimuli, and reproduction. Another definition is one or more aspects of the process of living. You do understand that the moment a woman is pregnant, that is one aspect of the process of the living of the child. Whether it's 15 seconds or 15 weeks, the process of life has begun the moment a woman is impregnated. You know, when a woman gets news that she's pregnant, the first image that comes to her mind is a living child, a living being. And truth be told, as tough as the decision is to have an abortion, when a woman decides to have an abortion, she is deciding to not allow that being inside of her that now exists at this stage as an organism to fully mature to become a child that she would have to take care of. In other words, the baby is not a body part. The baby is an individual by itself, by his or herself. And so having an abortion, if we're looking at the definition, if life is defined as an aspect of life or the process of living, if a child being an organism is the process or a stage of life before it can think or feel or have feelings or have pain tolerance, if that is an aspect of life, if that is defined as life, an abortion is to cut that process short, then by definition, abortion is murder. By definition, abortion is killing. Mind you, no Bible verses were mentioned. This is straight from the dictionary. And as I said before, a biologist can tell you that. And I can tell you that any biologist that tells you that a baby, whether he is 15 seconds or 15 weeks within a woman's body, is not a living being or is not a human being, I will tell you that that biologist is not a biologist, but rather a psychologist, a psycho with a college degree. Now, one of the main concerns when talking about the abortion issue is, what about the case of rape? What about the case of a woman who ends up being sexually assaulted, becoming a rape victim, and now they were being forced to have the child of their rapist, forced and be reminded of the trauma and horror that they experienced through rape? You know, I want to say that rape is a horrible thing. Because I am against abortion, it does not mean that I am for rape. Because I am against abortion, it does not mean that I am pro-rape. Matter of fact, rape is a crime in itself. Rape is something that is prohibited by the law. Rape is the force or violence of a sexual act against a woman without her sexual consent. And unfortunately, it happens. Every year, every day, women are being assaulted, are being taken advantage of, and in this situation, they often lose control or are not even in control in the situation or matter. And it is unfortunate. But statistically speaking, just 1% of women who have had an abortion do so because of rape. Matter of fact, the chances of a woman being impregnated because of rape is very unlikely. That is not to say that it cannot happen, but it does not happen as often as we think it does. According to the New York Times, 1% of all abortions are because of rape, which leaves us with the 99%, 97, 98% of women who actually gave sexual consent before having conception. According to the CDC, in 2019, women who have not aborted in the past accounted for 58% of all abortions. Women with one or two prior abortions accounted for 34%. And women with three or more prior abortions accounted for 8%. Also, among women who obtained abortions in 2019, 40% had no prior live births, 45% had one or two prior live births, and 15% had three or more prior live births. What we are seeing is that a good number of women getting abortions have either given birth or have had previous abortions. It's not like all of these women who are getting abortions have never had an abortion before or have never had a child before. Most of these women gave sexual consent. A lot of these women are already mothers, or a good number of them are already mothers. You know, and many of these women say that the reason for them getting abortions is because of financial means, hardships, living on welfare, and a dramatic life change. But who among us that is born has not gone through hardship? Who among us that has had the privilege of being alive have not seen dark days? That's life. That is the toil of life. Life is hard. Life is rough. Life is unfair. Life is not easy. And so you can't use life as an excuse to killing it. By the way, most of these women, you were well aware of your financial capabilities of taking care of the child before giving sexual consent. Or what about women in third world countries? Or what about women who live in places where they have no access to electricity? Or women who live in places where the water supply is filthy or dirty? Or women who live in places where the government does not seek their good? Or women who in other places have fewer rights than women in America? Women who don't even have the right to speak? What about those women in those third world countries? It's funny when women say that, and I'm seeing this quote that's going around, that our daughters or our children in this generation have less rights than their grandmothers and foremothers in the past. Well, I'm telling you this right now, that the rights that they have right now is not less than the rights of women in third world countries. And if anything, women in third world countries would be more justified if hardship was a merit to abortion than women in America. So should they use the hardship of everyday life not to have a child? Hardship is not an excuse to not having a child. At the end of the day, there's something in life, a law of life, that's called cause and effect. You have to reap what you sow. Pregnancy is the reaping of the sowing of sexual consent. The issue isn't so much women's rights per se. The issue is so much sexual education. Our women needs to be more sexually responsible, sexually educated. You know that dealing with abortion can be a very hard and difficult topic and issue. But we have to see it for what it is and not how we think or feel it is. And if we had to be honest with ourselves, the majority of women who are seeking abortion are seeking a bailout out of a poor personal decision. It's more so a bailout than it is a right. Because if this is based on constitutional rights, well, if the child is defined as a living being, are they not protected by the Constitution as well? Are they not recognized as human beings as well? And if they are, then wouldn't having an abortion be taking away their rights? Now, I might also want to add and say as well, too, that while I may be against abortion, that does not necessarily mean that I am for religion and state. In a matter of fact, I believe that the two should be separate, so far separate from each other that the issue of abortion shouldn't even concern religious affairs. As I mentioned before, just by the definition of life, by looking at a dictionary, or the definition of life, by studying a biology book, we can already identify that a child, whether 15 seconds or 15 weeks, is a living organism, and that to kill that organism is murder. Now, where God comes in isn't so much in the aspect of defining the being as a living being, but more so defining the value of the being. Well, that's when religion comes into play, is when you talk about the value of life, the value of the child, the value, the potential, the anticipation that God has for this child's life. As we mentioned before, I know that there are many individuals who feel that they don't want to hear the religious aspects. They don't want to hear the religious views. And as I said before, abortion is even guilty in the law of the land in itself. Take the Bible out, take God out, abortion is still murder. Abortion is still killing. So you don't necessarily have to bring church or religion into this. Now, if you want to talk about the value of the child's life, then you can bring up Bible verses like Jeremiah. Before you were formed in your mother's womb, I knew you. I have plans for you, thoughts of peace, of hope, and of an expected end. You can use verses like that. But that isn't speaking of the value of the child's life. But in the concept of murder, under the concept of killing, you can easily come to that conclusion just by reading a dictionary, or just by reading a biology book, or just by looking at the law of the land, or just by looking at the Constitution. You can realize that a living being, whether they are 15 seconds or 15 weeks, has constitutional rights. Religion only comes into play when you talk about the value of a child's life. But even without religion, without Bible verses, or without mentioning God or enforcing anyone's religious beliefs or views, abortion is still wrong. I think also one of the issues that society has, and what makes this decision for a lot of women more feasible, quote unquote, or more justified, is the outlook of motherhood in society. You know, what's interesting, women these days are chasing after the image of independence, the image of providing for themselves, the image of not needing a man, the image of depending on themselves and being able to pick themselves up by the bootstraps, provide for their own, and be this boss lady. And again, I do believe that a woman has the right to progress in education, has the right to progress in her field, has the right to progress in being the best woman that she can be. Yet, this ambitious mindset, this ambitious goal and mentality of a woman, unfortunately, in many cases, has led to the downplay of the role of a mother. And because many women have this Oprah-like image of being independent, the idea of being a mother oftentimes is looked down upon or frowned upon. It's as if having a child is the beginning of someone's life, but the end of the mother's life. As if the child is a hindrance to the mother's success, to the mother's progression, to the mother's aspirations, or to the mother's ambitions. The child is looked upon as a burden. Motherhood oftentimes is looked upon as a burden. And because society has this obscured view of motherhood, it's a lot easier to justify the abortion. Because in aborting a child, you are also aborting the responsibility of being a mother. You are also aborting the accountability of being a mother. You are also aborting the role of a motherhood. You're not just aborting a being. You are aborting a responsibility. You are aborting a role. You are aborting a mission. And when you realize that you are a boy, now, if society had a correct view of motherhood, if motherhood was esteemed as it is, as actually one of the most noble roles a woman can play, is that of a mother. And that is not to downplay any other roles that a woman can play in society. That is not to limit a woman's capability, or limit a woman's gifts, or limit a woman's worth to being a mother. Because matter of fact, all great men came from a mother. All great people who lived came from a mother. And without the nurturement or the nourishment of a mother, or a nurturing mother, or without a caring mom, most of these of powerful people would not even be here. And so it's amazing to me that the role of motherhood is downplayed, when motherhood seems to be the only thing that is keeping society. Because unfortunately, most men are not in the lives of their child and their children, especially in the Black community. Being a mother is a noble thing. Being a mom is a blessing. And oftentimes too, motherhood results in self-sacrifice. It results in a mother taking care of the child and taking their eyes off of their own lives and putting it upon another human being. And because we live in an individualistic society where we compare, where we care most about ourselves more than we care about any other, it's an easy thing to frown upon the idea of being a mother. And I have to ask myself, or we should ask ourselves this question, what's the difference between a father walking out of a child's life or aborting the role of a father than a mother having an abortion, which is aborting the role of a mother? You know, if you look at the life of Christ, Jesus lived the way that he lived. And part of that reason, as we mentioned, he has a heavenly father, of course, was the role that Mary played in his life, was the virtuous woman that Mary was. The virtuous woman that Mary was, that's how God was able to entrust her with the raising of Christ. And so when you understand that a woman played a vital role in ushering the first coming of Christ, I mean, what more noble role could have been than ushering the first coming of our Savior? So womanhood, unfortunately, in society is downplayed as something beneath the woman, but it's actually something that elevates a woman. It shows her value. It shows her mark and her stamp in society, because the role of a mother can never be replaced by a man. The role of a mother can is irreplaceable. I've heard this before from a rap lyric, and it's true from what Tupac said. No woman can ever take the place of his mom. And it is true. No woman can take the place of a mother. Not a president. Not a queen. Not a secretary. Not an entrepreneur. Not a woman on the front cover of Forbes magazine, Essence magazine. Not Oprah. The role of a mother is of a queenly status, because only a mom can raise a king. Only a mom can raise a princess. Only a mom can raise a prince. And of course, it shouldn't be by herself. She should have a man by her side, a father. Of course, it takes a village to raise a child, but a mother plays a very important and vital role. So don't let this image of motherhood that has been sort of looked upon in a condescending way by society because of individualism look as if it's something that's beneath you. It's actually a very noble and high role. And I just want to say, and I want to add, that my sympathy in my heart goes out to all women. It does. I do sympathize with you. Should I say I empathize with you? As a man, I may never know, or I will never know, the struggle of a woman, because I'm not a woman. I am a man. And I couldn't be a woman even if I wanted to be a woman, or even if I felt like a woman. That's just the reality of it is. Right? A man can't have an abortion even if he wanted to feel like a woman. Just because I feel like a woman doesn't mean I can have an abortion, because I am not physically capable of bearing a child. That's just the nature of being a man, whether I dress like a woman or act like a woman. And so, under this notion, my prayer goes out to you. I know this is a hard decision. Maybe having a child was unexpected. Maybe it wasn't planned. Maybe you did use protection, or maybe you did use birth control, and unfortunately, well, I wouldn't say unfortunately, but unexpectedly, you're expecting And I know you're considering abortion because you don't see the light at the end of the tunnel. And my prayer to you is that you would reconsider. My prayer to you is that you would meditate upon these words. That you don't have to take care of that child by yourself. You don't have to take care of that child without the support of a father. If the father doesn't want to step in, just know that God will step in. Know that God is the child's support just as he is the mother's support. Know that God has plans for that child's life just as he has plans for your life. Know that God is able to provide and supply above abundantly above all that we can ask or think. Because at the end of the day, just because it's concrete, it doesn't mean that a rose can grow from it. And you don't know that this child is a seed. It can be a seed of blessing, a seed of light, a seed of hope, a seed of blessings to many others and to society. Continue to strengthen you and be with you. And I pray that at the end of the day, that you would recognize that what you have in you is greater than what is outside of you. That is all that I have for today, my True For Youbers. Continue to listen to our next episodes. And if you haven't subscribed, please subscribe. May God bless you. Until next time.